Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and we welcome you to today's program. We're having an open forum today, so that means you have an opportunity to call in and ask whatever question you have about your relationship, and our host is here to help you. So get on the phones at 855-454-5905. Now here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos. How are you?
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening, whether here in Philadelphia and Charlotte or anywhere on the web. It's always great to have you here with us, and as always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and God, thank you so much for this morning, God, and this opportunity to be able to inspire, encourage, and bless many couples, God, and even those who are not yet in a relationship or not yet in marriage and are hoping to get to that point, Father, or perhaps those that are hurting right now in their marriage, Father, and are struggling and are wondering if they could make it, God. I do pray that in a special way that your hand would touch them this morning, God, that through the show you would give me wisdom and guidance, Father, to be able to advise them. Father, we love you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, look, you can ask whatever you want. All we ask is that you are very tasteful, that you realize that it is a Christian show. We are on a gospel station. So you got to be able to ask something. Ask it, you know, in a tasteful way. But anything you want, whether it's about the marriage bed being pure, about dealing with infidelity, divorce, struggles, issues, anything that you might be going through, or perhaps you want to help someone and you're just, you know, at kind of a dead end. You're trying to figure out, what do I say? You know, I want them to hang in there. I want them to have hope. So we want to hear from you this morning. You know, any question you want to ask, we're going to go ahead and tackle. We will have you opportunity for you to call us and have an open conversation. So today is an open forum here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. Mm-hmm. I am your host, Marcos Mercado, and Tiffany's going to give you the number once again so you can go ahead and give us a call.
That's right. All you have to do is call 855-454-5905.
And the theme scripture today comes from Ephesians chapter 5, but I'm reading from the Message translation. And beginning in verse 21, it says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words invoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And this is how husbands ought to love their wives. This is really doing themselves a favor, since they've already are one in marriage. I love it how Peterson puts this here in the Message translation, you know, giving that support, but also husbands making sure that you are not domineering, but that you are leading an example in love and loving your wife the way the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we want you to give us a call with your questions. It is an open forum this morning. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905.
You know, I want to spend a quick moment here. I know we're about to take some calls. Tiffany, to start off even from just from a perspective from being a woman, right? Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you hear that word submit? You know, the Bible uses it, especially mm-hmm. in marriage. It's like submit to your husband. Mm-hmm. I know, obviously, you know, if we know any of the history, that mm-hmm. word has been abused, mm-hmm. You know, by many men throughout history. That's not what we know that God is talking about here. You know, it really I love how verse 21 starts out here. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. It has to be about God. But what kind of feelings or what goes through your mind when you hear that word submit?
A little bit of nerves.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think in the back of my mind, at least, I'm having that. I hope there's nothing there that I didn't see before once we get married. You know, once we walk down the aisle, we go through the counseling. Well, we'll go through the counseling first, walk down the aisle and all like that. I hope that there's nothing there that I didn't see before. So if I'm supposed to submit to my husband, if he has absolutely horrible financial practices, then, you know, my I gotta survive nature starts to kick in, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to take over this thing or we're gonna go under, you know. And that gets to be a bit nerve-wracking. Like, what do you do, especially if the leader of your house isn't leading, you know, in a way that's helpful for the family?
Okay, I get you. So it does bring some nerves. It's not something you just feel like, sure. You're wondering, what if I need to submit in an area of weakness? Not your weakness, but let's say his weakness, right? And you mentioned finances. And I think, you know, verse 21 is very important in that verse. I hear a lot of times people going straight to verse 22. Mm-hmm. In other translations, it's verse 21 simply says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I think there is a time when we have to submit, and in leadership you do, but the leadership doesn't mean that you do it all. So if, let's say, your future husband, his strength is not, let's say, managing the finances, then it's okay to say, listen, I'm going to submit to the marriage. I'm going to submit to you in this case so that you would deal and handle the budget. But that doesn't mean you also handle that independently. It should be, you know, it's a two-way street. Okay.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't often hear that when I'm speaking, especially to older Christians. When they say submit, you're supposed to, like, take your hands off of it. And being someone who, and I'm not, I don't have the independent woman syndrome. I don't need a man. I don't subscribe to that magazine at all. However, because I am single and because I've had to maintain my own life all this time, there's things that I know I need to do.
Absolutely.
Not to go under, and to be able to relinquish all that when I see that we're going under, just like I have a visceral response, like, oh, wait a minute now. I'm supposed to let the whole thing just sink.
You know what's probably the best, at least, well, not the best, but there's an analogy that comes to mind. And I'm thinking, you know, it's like if we're in a car, right, and let's say I'm the one driving, you're going to have to trust that I'm trying to get us to the right place. Now, I might make a wrong turn, but my desire, if we're really in trouble, if you know I'm taking you to the wrong place.
Right.
I mean, that's called like kidnapping or something. You know, I'm taking you where you want to go here, but I'm taking you here. But I think a lot of times that's the fear. It's like, what if I get in the car and my husband wants to go the wrong way? It's like, no. I mean, hopefully you're in a place where it's not that he wants to. It's just he's misguided. Maybe he's not really following the instructions something goes wrong. And I think that's where the humility comes in of saying, well, you know, honey, you know, even literally driving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my wife, you know, you should have made a right turn there.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm like, no, I know this way. It's like, oh, really? What, did I miss the exit? I mean, what happened? Mm-hmm. And with the humility, we work together. But only one person can take the wheel. The lack of submission comes in with like, no, you're supposed to turn here. Let me turn now.
Right.
And you grab the wheel. And then, you know, we're in trouble.
Right.
And that's what I think happens a lot of times in marriage. It's like, listen, I'm better than you. I know the way more than you do. So I should be the one in charge. And that is very, very dangerous. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls here. I know we're going to take a break in just a quick moment, but we want to at least introduce this first caller here.
Okay. We have Monique calling in from New Jersey. Monique, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for listening and for calling in this morning. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm kind of lost right now. I'm in a relationship. I just got into a relationship. I've been in it for about 6 months now. And I'm thinking I should have held out on being intimate, but I didn't. And I don't know, like, I'm lost. I mean, I want to get married. I do care for this guy a lot. I love him. But, I don't know what to do. I'm lost. And
okay.
I don't know whether to stop being intimate, to hold out now, or just let it flow. So, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling and for being vulnerable about this. This is probably something that more couples deal with before they get married than they should. I think that, you know, we need to go right back to the scriptures, right? And we know how God feels about certain things. So let me just ask you a few questions, Monique. Number one, if you don't mind, since you already open with us. Did you have intentions of staying pure before marriage, and what happened? I mean, you're saying now you're intimate. Like, who initiated, you know, what happened in your mind when you compromised? It sounds like this is ongoing. I mean, what happened?
Well, I think I probably initiated it, but just normally I did it for him. Let's say I did it for him, but normally I really wanted to wait because I really care for this guy. I really like him, and I don't want it to just lead to just that. I want to have a real relationship with him, and I did it for him. So, and now I'm feeling like I wish I would have held out, you know.
You know what I'm hearing that's missing is, and you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to please your mate, but pleasing God has to come first.
Of course.
And I think what I didn't hear there is, what about God? Because your true mate, your true, you know, your first love, what the Bible says, is God. And so when you realize that, you're saying, you know what, as much as I want to take matters into my own hand, number one, I love God too much, and I trust him. And he knows what he's doing. And so whenever we decide any kind of disobedience is a lack of trust. It starts with, you know, it's a lack of faith, it's a lack of trust. And then, you know, it leads to that disobedience. We know from the very first, you know, example of sin from Adam and Eve, you know, what happened. Now, Monique, what I want to do is I want to share a few things with you that I think are going to help you in how to get out of this situation, not necessarily out of the relationship, but how to bring it back to God. And so we're about to take a break, Monique. So if you can just hold just a few minutes.
Sure.
Yes,
you know,
just hold on.
We'll be right back with you. Please don't go anywhere. And we'll definitely share with you some things that I believe would truly help you to get out of this situation.
And to our listening audience, don't touch that dial. You're going to hear Marcos give sound advice. And we also have an opportunity for you to call. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We're just getting started with our first conversation. And by the way, we welcome your phone calls. We're having an open forum today. And the lines are open to you. Just dial 855-454-5905. We were on the phone with Monique, and we're going to rejoin that conversation. Monique, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Great. Thank you, Monique, for your patience. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. And right before the break, we were speaking with Monique, who shared with us that she's been in a 6-month relationship, but she started being intimate. She started having sex before marriage. And now she's wondering, should she stop? And we said we would give her some biblical advice. Monique, I don't know if you have a Bible with you in front of you or not, but I would like for you to turn to Matthew 18. If you don't, just write down the scripture. I want you to read this for yourself at some point, but I'm going to read some of this to you, okay?
Yeah.
Beginning in verse 7 of Matthew 18, it says, "This Jesus is saying, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands and two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away." And, you know, Jesus is pretty black and white and very straightforward when it comes to sin. And I think that the number one problem we get into is when we get into the gray area. Like, all right, what's right, what's wrong? There are some things that are absolutely clear that you should not do. And having an intimate relationship before marriage, you know, it's just wrong. You know, fornicating, sexual immorality. And it's not just wrong because it's wrong and God says so. Of course, that's the number one reason. But if you trust God enough, you realize he's perfect with his plan. So he knows, okay, this is why this would work in marriage. There's something about being joined together with someone intimately. And if you're not married, you are joining yourself with this person, in, you know, physically and emotionally. And then it's very hard and you're very clouded with let me give you an example, Monique. What if God makes it clear and starts showing you signs that this is not the man that you should spend the rest of your life with? What then?
Then we leave each other. We break up.
Okay, but you've already been intimate. And I think that's where things get incredibly complicated. And let's just say he is the one, but he hasn't led you spiritually, and also you haven't put Christ in the center of the marriage. And then you get married, and you start having issues, and it's like, all right, well, now we're going to follow the scriptures. But you didn't follow it before, so your foundation is flawed. I love Jesus' approach about dealing with sin. He says you cut it off. You change it. Now, here's the good news. You're ready, Monique?
Yeah.
God is loving, and he wants us to repent. But in order for us to be forgiven, we have to repent. I think a lot of times people love to talk about forgiveness, but they don't talk about the repentance. Repentance means to change. And so I think if you want, number one, your life to be aligned with God's word, you need to repent. You need to stop it like right now. If this is not a gradual change. This is like right now you have a conversation with your boyfriend and you say, listen, this was wrong. We should have never done this. You apologize and you say, you know, are we able to have a relationship that's pure? If you can't, then that's definitely not the relationship for you. If you can, you're going to have to get people in your life and set up some boundaries so that you can stay righteous. For example, if it happens, you know, to be that he comes over your house, a rule that my wife and I had, we were never alone by ourselves until we got married, because you can't really be in sin if you have people around you, right? Especially people who love God and love you. But if you put yourself in compromising situations, it's so easy to fall. So we never said to ourselves, oh, we're strong, we can handle this. It's like, no, we had a goal and we were able to accomplish it. And that was to make it to the altar pure. And for you, it's not too late to set that boundary right now and say, listen, from this point on, if God, you know, wills it and we're able to get married and that's what we want and that's what we want for God to bless us, then from this point on, we're going to do this God's way, not our way. How does that sound to you?
Sounds really good.
Now you got to prepare. He might not agree to this.
And okay.
And he might say, "Well, why now?" Or he might tell you, "Well, you know, we already been intimate. Why don't we just get married and fix it?" And I think that's another mistake a lot of couples make. Is like, "Well, marriage is just going to fix it." Especially a lot, you know, people who feel guilty or they go to church together and they feel like they have to fix this and they just get married, but that's really not dealing with the issue. The issue is you've been disobedient to God first. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. Well, Monique, listen, I would love to hear if you can call us back in a few weeks and let us know how things are going.
I definitely can.
All right.
Definitely.
And thank you so much for picking up the phone and calling and sharing with us. We'll be praying that you make the right decision.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Monique.
God bless.
You too.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We are Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station, so make sure you give us a call, 855-454-5905. We have Naomi calling in from New York, and from New York and residing in the Philadelphia area today. Naomi, good morning. You're live on the air.
Naomi?
Hello?
Yes, hi. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows, and you called us, and you're live on the air right now.
Okay, sorry about that. Yes, my current question is, I've been in this relationship with someone for about 7 years now.
Okay.
And every time he brings up the whole marriage situation, and I want to believe that it's true, but because he said it several times before, I don't know if it's real this time. And like, if I'm out and I say something about, oh, look, I was looking at wedding invitations, or I went to a bridal shower, his conversation becomes, oh, okay, that's nice.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you leading me on? And then every time I bring it up, like, what's the problem? What's the problem? I don't have a problem. So
okay.
I just need spiritual guidance.
Okay. Well, 7 years is a long time, right? So you've been in a relationship 7 years. And I have two basic questions for you. The first one is, I don't know if you got to hear Monique and the previous caller, and she was talking about being in a relationship, and she's compromised. She's not waited to marriage, you know, in order to have sex and be intimate. What about for you? I mean, 7 years is a long time. Are you and your boyfriend at the time, because he's not your husband, or have you been intimate?
Yes, we have been intimate, and we have two children together.
Do you live together?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, and that was my second question is, what has he shown you as a commitment? Has he put a ring on your finger? Has he made some type of, you know, actual, you know, how can I say, commitment, some kind of commitment besides just words that show you that he's serious?
He's given me a cocktail ring before. Other than that, we went to a jewelry store before, and he's put money down towards a bridal set, but I'm not sure whether he's continuing to make those payments or, you know, things like that.
Okay. Let me just share something with you, Naomi. Most men, and I'm here speaking as a brother, most men, with the exception of men that are trying to please God, like with all their heart, most men won't commit to something if they already have the best of both worlds. It's sad to say, but it's like there's no reason for the commitment. I'll be honest with you. Listen, when I was courting my wife, I knew if she's going to be the one, then number one, God has to make it clear. But in order for us to know if this is the will of God, we have to stay within God's, you know, will, which is his word. And so we waited to get married. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't change or you can't, you know, God can't turn around the situation. But you've really done this backwards. You live with the man, you have children with him, and then you expect him to commit. But there's no reason for it. I mean, right now he feels like he can just walk away. There's nothing. You know, people, a lot of men think, well, if I marry her and then things don't go right, I got to give her half of my, you know, income, or I have to do this and that. And it's a very worldly and unspiritual mindset, but it's what a lot of men think. And I would tell you the same advice that I gave Monique is, listen, you need to, number one, get right with God and realize that how you're living is wrong, is sinful, and you got to apologize to God. And then you need to go and have a serious conversation and say, listen, if we're going to be an example for our children, if we're going to do this God's way, we need to stop this right now. We can't be living together. We can't be sleeping together, playing house. And you know what? The only way we're going to be a family is if we get married. Because you're acting like a married couple already, but you've never made those vows before God and before witnesses.
Right.
Now, it sounds like you want this, but I really don't believe he wants it, at least not bad enough to do it. Because if that were the case, 7 years is a long time. He would have made it a long time ago. He would have said, baby, we got to get this right. Let's go to, even if it's the justice of the peace, let's go. Let's get this done. But something is missing there. Something's not right.
I mean, it could be because, like, his mother and father, he doesn't have a relationship with his father. And then the relationship with his mother and father went sour after being 20 years of After being in a marriage of 20 years, they ended up being divorced. A lot of people in their family has divorced. So okay. I'm not sure if that's what's scaring him. I mean, I'm scared also because I've never had a marriage. I don't know what to expect. I trust God, yes. He's a God-fearing person. He more so just started going to church, like, over the last year.
You're in the Philadelphia area, right, Naomi?
Yes.
This is what I would like to do, and I don't offer this often. I'm, you know, right now where I am in life, I can't even, you know, commit to a lot of relationships or a lot of couples that would help. But I would be willing to sit down with you and your future husband, if that's what you want or he wants, and do some premarital counseling.
Okay.
And I would love to offer that to you. What I would need to do is for you to stay on the line and speak to my producer, Larry. He'll get your information. And I'll give you mine. And we can set up some time, even if it's just an initial conversation of what is it that he wants? Because right now we're only getting one side of the story. And I understand there could be a lot of reasons. But let me tell you, the number one reason is because God designed marriage. and he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
Okay, and that's why marriage is not just some man-made institution. God sanctioned marriage. And so he knows, God knows what he's doing and why he said, you know, God could have just said, just have as many children and be fruitful and do whatever you want. But he's like, no, you got to have a commitment. And you leave your mother and father and you unite to your wife and you become one flesh. And then you stay faithful. And then the Bible, what we read earlier, it says, you know, you submit to one another. And husbands, you love your wives. And wives, you respect your husband. God knows what he's talking about here. So, Naomi, please stay on the line. We're going to get your information, give you some information as well.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a blessed day. Don't go anywhere. All right.
Let's take a call from Adrian calling in from Philadelphia on line 3. Adrian, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, Adrian, we're doing great. What is your comment or question for us today?
Okay. I'm trying to sum this up the best I can. I met my husband 20 years ago.
Okay.
And we just got married in 2012. We've been together off and on the 20 years that we've known each other. I had a daughter in 96, and I had a son in 01.
Mm-hmm.
And that was by my high school sweetheart. And so, I mean, we were still together on and off because every time my baby father would get locked up, we would be together. But throughout these 20 years, I'm basically saying that he loved me unconditionally, like, every time he turned around, he was in my life. Like, I love you. I want to take care of you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And I was just growing in faith around about 98. I started getting into the church and gave my life to Christ and got baptized. And so I started turning my life around.
Okay.
And I tried to know him for him. Even though we weren't spiritually connected, I was loved. I felt his love through a lot of things that he showed me. I felt his love. Now, I don't know if I'm wrong or right, but I didn't get married because I was in love with him. I got married because he loved me.
Okay.
And I prayed on it, and I went for a whole year praying and fasting, and God, you know, didn't tell me no.
Okay.
So I got married, and the night home, it turned totally like a 360. He started, he didn't want to be intimate the first night of marriage. That's unnormal. Like, he never in 20 years said he didn't want to be intimate with me. So that threw me for a turn. I cried the first night of our marriage, and then it just went sour.
Did he say why?
He talks in anger. So he's always saying, I hate you, I hate you, I wish I never married you. And I'm like, what? And this is the first month of our marriage. And my pastor counseled us. My pastor, he's been there for us. He's tried to do, he bent over backwards. He said it seemed like this is turmoil you're going through. I don't know. So we went to another counselor, Sarita Lyons. I mean, she's phenomenal.
Okay.
She got to the nitty-gritty on the beginning, the first day. She told us exactly what was the problem. He didn't like the answer, so he didn't want to go back.
What was the problem, she said?
He was being very insecure, and not the things that he was saying were contradicting the way he was putting it out. Like, it's my fault. He kept on saying, it's her fault, it's her fault. And she was like, through it all, I didn't get her in it. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of you, but he wasn't trying to hear that.
I got you.
So he felt as though I knew her, and that was my girlfriend. I said, I'm not going to pay my girlfriend as much money to counsel her. But so right now, he don't speak to me. 2 years, I mean, we separated 7 months after. I couldn't take it no more. I prayed and I cried, and I prayed and I cried, and you know, I spent the last day with him. I went to the a hotel because I couldn't take the abuse. The emotional abuse was worse.
Okay.
And the verbal abuse just got the worst. I never seen that side of him.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, my question is, like, I'm still, I'm a child of God. So I still have faith. And I'm hoping that God either free me or help me to understand him.
But okay. Every time I try to talk to him, he's like, what do you want? And I'm like, you know what? I don't want anything. I can't call you and ask you, and you angrily ask me, what do I want? Like, I'm a bother to you.
I hear
he
you.
He used to love me. I don't understand it.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of issues that are going on. And I think number one, as I hear you, you know, and I actually wanted you to speak quite a bit because I wanted to get the full story here. It's a pretty intriguing story. You know, you've had a journey yourself, and you're still not done with that journey. And that journey, you know, I heard what you said about, you know, having a child at 96 and then having another one in 2001, correct?
Yes.
But it sounds like even when you have mentioned you gave your life to the Lord, you still went back on that, and you had a child outside of marriage in 2001. So, you know, I hear contradictions in your own walk with God. And look, people struggle. Mm-hmm. We all struggle. It sounds like you're struggling right now, just trying to do the right thing by God. Yeah. And here's the challenge, Adrian. A lot of times, you know, we want to make our own decisions, but then we want God's blessing. And it contradicts. God wants to bless our lives. Don't get us wrong. That's just, God loves that. He loves us. But more than to bless us, the true blessing is for us to make it, for us to be in the Spirit, to have a relationship with Him and make it to heaven. And I think a lot of times these obstacles that we see are God's way of saying, you need to turn to me. Now, what happened with your husband, I really can't say, other than, you know, there are many passages who talk about lust versus love. And it sounds like to me, and there's a scripture, I want you to write it down, in 2 Samuel 13. It was a man that raped his sister, his half-sister. And look what he says. It says he hated her with intense hatred. In fact, he hated her more than he loved her. And prior to that, he wanted to get with her. He was filled with lust. He couldn't wait. But once he got her, it says he hated her. And I think a lot of times, you know, when we want what we want and it's not what God has for us, and we get angry because it's not everything we hoped for. You know, we sometimes we live in a fairy tale. We think we're going to live happily ever after, but we ignore the signs. And it sounds like for the last 20 years, there's been a lot of things that have shown you that perhaps you guys are not good for each other. He's been your crutch. You've been in another relationship, but he's been there for you. You've always had this physical, intimate relationship. It doesn't surprise me. It's sad. But it doesn't surprise me that something happened, that he felt disillusioned and hurt, and maybe what was said to him is true. Maybe he's very insecure. And then it all flipped. Instead of all that love and that desire he had for you, now he despises you. Because things are probably not as romantic and dreamlike as he probably fantasized at first. And something went wrong. And I think, for you, Adrian, I think you're struggling right now to do the right thing. And I think all you could do now is make sure that you do your part, that you're not bitter towards him, that you're humble. But it sounds like now he needs to go through his own journey, because you can't be God for him. You're going to disappoint him. And I don't know what he's looking for. Has he ever said anything like specifically what he wants from you?
Our communication was not the best. And he don't say anything. I mean, everything he told me he wanted, I tried to give him that and more. Like, he just said he wanted a clean house. He wanted food cooked when he get home. And I just tried to do the right thing. Like you said, I can't make him my God. Like, I can't be his God. I don't know what's going on in his head at all. I just know it's a 360, and I've never seen nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm glad I got spiritual girlfriends that's constantly, like, my girlfriend's constantly telling me to just keep the word, read the word, gotta make it away somehow. And,
Adrian, I'm going to give you some practical advice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is very practical. It might even be a little controversial. He is your husband, correct? You're married legally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We got married in the church on February the 14th.
Amen.
2012.
Right.
And that day was so beautiful. I knew it was just God because it was a snowstorm like a couple of days before.
Yeah, I remember
and
that day.
That day, it was clear. It was nice. I didn't need a coat. I didn't need anything. And I said, wow, God, this must be meant to be. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, this is the practical advice I'm going to give you. All right.
Okay.
Yes, God should be first, but you got to make sure that you figure out how you can make your husband feel like the man. Like, and when I'm talking about feel like the man, it's like you're his biggest fan, his biggest support, that you just head over heels, that you love this man. And that's going to take deliberate effort. It's not going to be easy. You might even get rejected at first. But if you want to save your relationship and your husband is as insecure as we believe, number one, don't tell him he's insecure. You make him feel secure. Like, let him know, listen, you don't want to be with anyone else in the entire world. You've known this man for over 20 years. He's been by your side. You want the man that you married. And you got to figure out, okay, how can you make him feel like the man? That you just love him, and I mean in every area, if it's physical, if it's emotional, anything, you need to spend your time and effort figuring out how you can build him up, and go all in for this relationship. Now, the choice will have to be his, but make sure you do your part 100%.
Okay.
You can't be scared or wondering or if he doesn't treat you right. You know, the Bible in Ephesians 5, our theme scripture, talks about, you know, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You're not just doing this for him. You're doing this because God is calling you as a wife to respect your husband. He needs to feel respected.
Okay.
Okay. And that might mean sometimes you just listen.
Maybe I need some classes on that.
I'm sure.
I don't know how to do that. I know, I can call him and say, you know, he means the world to me, but I don't know exactly where to go after that. I really don't.
Well, one thing I can tell you, I can't like offer this for everyone, but in just a couple of weeks, actually on the 22nd, I'm going to start a class. My wife and I, it's in the Delaware area. I don't know if you can get to the Delaware area, but if you and your husband can make it to it's an 8-week course. It's once a week. If you can stay on the line, I will give you more information, or I can make it real easy for you. You can go to our website, praisephilly.com, and look for me, Marcos Mercado, and send me a message. If you're on Facebook, you can do that as well. But it's a class we have starting. I think it would probably be the best thing for you right now, but it takes a commitment. I don't charge. I absolutely don't charge for this class. All you have to do is get the material for the class, the textbook, the workbooks and stuff. So it's a free class. But it's very limited. I can only let so many couples, and it's getting filled. So if you're interested, you need to respond like right away. So you go to praisephilly.com, look for me, Marcos Mercado, or you can go to Facebook, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, and send me a message directly. But it's starting in like a week and a half. It's going to be Tuesdays, and it will be a class that will truly, truly change your perspective, your relationship. If he's willing and you're willing, I think this could be powerful for you.
Okay.
All right, Adrian.
That's great. Yes, thank you.
All right, so send me a message if you're interested. And thank you so much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling us and sharing your life.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right.
You too.
Take care. All right, let's go to line 4 and speak to Mr. Sample out of New Jersey. Mr. Sample, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
All right. How are you?
We're blessed. We're doing well.
Great day to wake up alive and handsome, I tell you. See, you were talking about relationships. You know, I had a friend, got a good friend of mine. I got a couple of good friends of mine. They were talking, telling me about some things, why they couldn't get a man with the right attitude. No, I've been married 37 years.
Amen.
My wife and I have been married 37 years to each other. And we've had our ups and downs and trials and separations and, oh, man, you know. the one thing that I try to explain to them, and it seemed to work when they listened, is that like something that you said when the show first came on. I don't know. I just happened to be here, and I just happened to turn your show on. You mentioned about submittal, you know, where it says in Ephesians.
Yeah, like submission.
See, the thing is, it does not mean submittal to me, and as I have interpreted it, submittal does not mean that do as I say, you obey me. Mm-hmm. What submittal means, as I had to explain it to my wife, because she's got a lot of single friends that have attitudinal issues. Submittal means that I, as the husband, when things go wrong, when things go south, I am the one that will be looked to. It is not her. Mm-hmm. I am the one. And for her to come under my protection, if you go to anywhere and you have a bodyguard, to be under that bodyguard's protection, he has certain things that you have to submit to.
Sure.
To be under his or her protection.
Absolutely. If he tells you, get in the car right now, we got to go, and you're like, no, you start arguing with him, he can't keep you safe, right?
Oh, yes.
And you know what? Let me ask you a question, Mr. Sample. You said 37 years you guys have had your challenges. You know, in the King James version, the Bible says, and I love how it says submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Yes.
And so it talks about that. You know, it's in the fear of God. It's not just for the sake of submitting. I think that a lot of times the mistakes we make is like, all right, well, I guess I have to do this. It's like, well, you know what? Christianity is a choice. There are a lot of things we don't have to do, but it's in your best interest for your relationship with God to trust. And it sounds like in 37 years, I'm sure you've realized there are times where you did things in your best interest, and there are other times you said, I'm going to trust God. Yeah. And I'm sure every single time it works out when you trust God, doesn't it?
Yes, and when you talk about submittal, a man must submit to his wife.
Yes.
In the Bible it says, seek ye wise counsel.
Mm-hmm.
By me marrying her, that means that she is the person whose counsel, who I trust with my life for that wise counsel.
Amen.
That's submittal to her. I trust her. I will trust her with my life that wise counsel.
That's great. But you know what? It means one more thing, too, though. Are you willing to submit to the advice and the help of another man that would help you, a spiritual man?
Of another man?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, the rebel in me, he's got to be somebody who I can trust.
Absolutely. You absolutely got to be able to trust him. But in order to be that husband, and the same thing for the wives, we got to be able to submit to other people and say, listen, this might not make sense. I'll give you an example. You have an argument with your wife, just a hypothetical. You have an argument, and you talk to one of the brothers that you trust, and he says, listen, bro, you were wrong. You were a jerk. You got to go and apologize. If you can't submit to that, your marriage, you're not going to be able to help and be humble with your wife, because you know how it is when you're upset.
Exactly. I don't want to hear that, man.
I know you don't want to hear it. Mr. Sample, we got to take a brief break. If you can hold on, we're going to come back. We'll bring you in. And we got a bunch of other callers as well that want to talk about this very same topic about submission and getting help with their relationship. But hold on, because we're going to bring you right back after this break.
All right. So don't touch that dial. We are going to continue with more conversation, and we'd love for you to be a part of it by dialing 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows continues after this.